Thanks for joining us today. Our church exists to give everyone, everywhere, every reason to know Jesus. You can learn more by connecting with us on Facebook at Journey Fellowship Denton. Thanks again for joining us and enjoy today's message.
Going to Luke chapter 5, I'm going to begin reading in verse 17. Before I get there, I just want you to recognize something, that there is a common need in this entire church. All of us have come today with one common need. Regardless of if you know Jesus or if you don't know Jesus, there is one commonality that joins us all together. Every person in this room has a need to belong. You have a need to belong somewhere, and the reason is because God created you that way. He wants you to belong. One of the greatest gifts that a church can give is a church that can give those who are hurting, those who are lost, those who need to be delivered, a place where they can belong. And this week, I'm going to conclude our series of We Are. Some of you don't know our story, but we were two churches, became one church, and we still celebrate that. We haven't come to the conclusion on what we're going to call ourselves, but the most important thing is we know that church is going to be in there, and if we know what a church is, then we know how we should be, right? So we are not just a church who is committed to biblical truth and committed to spiritual maturity and obligated to reach the lost, but we are a church that is devoted to genuine community. We're devoted to one another. Aristotle said this. He said, without friendships, no one would choose to live, even if they had all the other good things in life. We need each other. Look at your neighbor and say, I need you. You need me. People want to connect. People want to belong. They want to be a part of something. Because, see, to love and to be loved is the most fierce cry of every heart. And we want to be a church that can meet that need. Our desire for genuine relationships and community is something that's common to us. And I just want us all to understand that as I minister to you this morning in the Word. There is no sermon for someone else. We all want to be a part. We all want to be held close to someone. I remember when Sydney was just a baby, I would hold her, and I loved holding her. And it's been great in the last few hours driving around with Philip and with Sarah Grace, and they've got a little baby, and getting to hold that baby. You know, I haven't got to hold her yet, but Sydney was like, she loved to be held, and it was funny, because as soon as I would take her to lay her down, to put her to bed, and as her back touched that mattress, she popped up directly awake, and she was like, no, don't put me down, don't let me go. And she started crying. She loved to be held. She loved to know that there was someone that was holding her, there's someone that was with her. And our church needs to be a church that represents something, not just in what we call ourselves, but a church that represents genuine community, genuine relationships. And one of the greatest stories in the Bible about this is the story we're going to read in Luke chapter 5, story of a paralyzed man and his group of friends who brought him to Jesus. So let's look at the Word of God this morning. Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 17. The Scripture says this. One day as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there. And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. The presence of God was there. The Spirit was there, just like it is this morning. And some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. And when they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and they lowered him on his mat through the tiles in the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, just underline that, that's important. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking, and he asked, "What are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. Take up your mat and walk." And immediately he stood up in front of them took what he had been lying on and went home praising God. And everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. And they were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." May that be the prayer of every person who walks out the doors of this church. May they say, "We have seen remarkable things today." Someone say amen. Let's pray over the Lord's word this morning. Father, I pray this morning that as we hear your words spoken, Lord, may, Lord, the distance between the lips of my mouth and the ears of the hearers, Lord, may it be anointed, Lord, with your spirit. Father, I would pray that you would take the next few moments, Lord, of our time, that you would make it the most important part of our day. For, Lord, we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. May we apply this word to our life. Lord, this universal, Lord, unchanging, Lord, completely truthful word of God. May we ingest it into our spirits, and may we be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to imagine this man's life. This paralyzed man, I want you to think about his life. I want you to think that he lived on a 3x6 mat. Every time he got hungry, he had to call somebody to help him to eat. Every time that he wanted to go somewhere, he had to call someone to help him to be carried where he needed to go. Every time that he had to change his clothing, he needed help. He had to call somebody where he needed to go. He wasn't a man that had a whole lot of money. He didn't have a whole lot of things. He didn't have very much influence. He was a paralytic. He didn't have very much a say-so in the world. He didn't have a job. He had no future as far as most people would be concerned. But what this man did have going for him was an amazing group of people who loved him and was close to him as a friend. He had a community of people who were around him. He was a part of one of the most killer small groups of all time. He was a part of a group of people, and really the reason why this story is told in Scripture is because not just the story of this paralyzed man and his mat, it's the story of this group of friends, these men. You see, God created us for relationships. He's created us to have community together, and this doesn't immediately happen just because He created it to happen. Friendships, my dear church, are chosen. You choose to make friends. You choose to maintain those friendships. And that's why this church must be devoted to genuine community. We've talked about the power of God's word. We've talked about developing spiritual maturity and our discipleship plan and all that we have in store. We've talked about last week reaching the lost, which is the passion, the heartbeat of our church. But I love coming to church when I know that that guy's got my back and she's going to help me out. If I have a need, I know who I can call. It's the people that I love that love me back, and I know that I can always turn to them. It's that community that genuinely loves one another, and that's why this church is going to be so great in the future, is because there is a group of people who do that. It's amazing. I love it. If you're here today and you're looking for a church, I want you to know there's a place for you. There's a place for you because there's a place where you can find love. And I'll just say this. This church will assume nothing about your past in light, or in nothing about your future in light of what you have done in your past. We will love you right where you are, right as you walk in that door. We expect nothing more of you than just to know that we love you. I just know this. The reason why we do that is because we know that when you encounter Jesus, that Jesus loves you so much that He won't leave you where He finds you. He always takes you somewhere. And so if you're new, you're looking for a church, there's a place to belong. This is a great group of folks that I've been able to have the privilege of pastoring. And so as you sit around, you look around these people, they genuinely do love each other. It's not a bunch of fake smiles. We really do like each other. Just look at that person next to you and say, "Man, I really like you. You're not bad after all, you know?" So this morning, I'm not going to speak about why we're devoted to community. That's pretty obvious. I'm going to tell you about how to be devoted to community and how this happens. It's not just in the church, but I want you to show you how this can happen in every person. I want you to experience this genuine community. I want you to experience what it's like to truly be a part of a group of people who love Jesus and want to see Him grow and flourish in every person's life. So let me just make this statement, and then I'm going to give you five five choices that you have to make. Genuine community is always your choice. You have to choose. Just like everything else in life, if you want it, most of the time you have to choose to want it. It's an intentional thing. It's not accidental. And you have to make five choices. The first choice that you have to make is you have to choose to make it a priority. Let me just tell you something. You will never experience a true group of friends like these men and women that are sitting around you by just sitting there wishing you could make friends. If you don't make the relationships a priority, if you don't choose to make time in your life and developing those circle of friends, you will still be waiting 1 year from now wishing that you had more people that you could count on, that you could rely on, that you could call your friends. Friends don't come into your life by accident. Genuine spiritual community doesn't come into your life by accident. You have to be looking for it. It has to be intentional. It may cost you a little bit of time. It may cost you some energy. It may even cost you a little money to make the type of friends that God wants you to have. But let me tell you, in the end, it's worth it. It's very worth it. Because if godly friendships have become a priority of your life, they will be a priority for the rest of your life, because the people that you let in will be important to you. So in this story, in Luke chapter 5, we see this group of guys, and they find out that Jesus is in town. They realize that Jesus is in town, and they've heard the stories that Jesus is not just this roaming preacher, but Jesus is a miracle worker. They've heard stories that Jesus actually has touched blind men and they can now see. They've heard stories that there was a woman who had an issue that no doctor could stop, no doctor could cure. But when she came in contact with Jesus, the word was that she was changed. Something had happened to this woman. She was completely healed. And these men heard Jesus was coming. And when they heard Jesus was coming, something immediately went into their mind. The first person that they thought of was their friend. He wasn't an afterthought. He wasn't someone that maybe, you know, this would be. No, when they realized Jesus, this miracle worker, was coming to town, the first thing they said is, hey, we've got to get our buddy to Jesus. It's a priority. This paralyzed man wasn't an obligation to them. He was their motivation. We've got to get him to Jesus, because we know if he can get in front of Jesus, we don't know what might happen. It might be an amazing miracle. You see, you got to ask yourself, who are you thinking of when you bring yourself to the Lord's presence? Who is on your mind? Who else may have a need that you know that if they come to Jesus, that need might be completely met? A few weeks ago, I was able to make dinner for my family. I usually don't cook for sake of the children and because of the fire hazard to the neighbors, so I usually let that be done to Shannon. Shannon takes care of that. But I did do some cooking, and I didn't do the microwave thing. I did real food. I made real mashed potatoes with heavy cream and that kind of stuff. Yes, amen. Y'all be praying me. Y'all be amening me all day long. Now, I made real, real fried chicken. It wasn't fake. It was real fried chicken. Okay, so we got mashed potatoes and fried chicken, and the kitchen was a wreck, but I made real food. None of that microwave stuff. Let me tell you something. You know that the good stuff doesn't come in a 30-second spin in the microwave? Did you know that? Good stuff doesn't happen just because we punch a few numbers and hope that it comes out good. And let me just tell you, if you want to find deep, genuine relationships, they don't come by fitting them into the cracks of an overloaded schedule in your life. You see, true first century community of what we see in the scripture in Luke chapter 5, that's not found on the timetable of the 21st century. You have to work at it. You have to have that unhurried time that you are there not to accomplish a task, but you're there to be with somebody. You have to make it a priority. You have to make it a priority. The story, these guys, they make their friendship a priority. And when they heard about Jesus, their thoughts immediately went to their friend. They chose to make it a priority. You have to choose not only to make it a priority, but you have to choose to accept the as-is in everybody. You have to accept the as is. This paralytic man was not perfect by any means. He was not perfect, but then again, neither were his friends. They weren't perfect. And here's what we secretly think about ourselves. We secretly believe, and I'm going to just kind of read your mind right now. We believe that everyone in the world is weird, and then there's us. Everybody is weird. You know what weird is? Weird is a little bit abnormal. It's different. And if you were saying it in the Texas slang, weird means you ain't red. That's what weird is. We believe that everybody's weird except us. We're the only ones. The other day I was at Sam's and I went back in the back corner of the Sam's and there's that as-is section. How many of you know what I'm talking about? There's an as-is section. That as-is section, I always go back there because in the as-is section, you know that there is a flaw somewhere. Now, they're not going to tell you where the flaw is. It's just going to have a sign that says, as is. They're not going to point it out for you. And luckily, you can look at it long enough that before you can find the flaw before you actually get it home and realize the door does not open or the cooler doesn't work. And you find out what that flaw is. There is an as-in section. And let me tell you something. When you're dealing with people, when you're dealing with human beings, you have come to the as-is corner of the universe, friends. It's bigger than the Sam's as-in section. You've come to the as-is corner of the universe because, let me tell you something, people are weird. It's okay. You can say that. Look at your neighbor and say, hey, you're a little weird. It's okay. It's all right. You're weird. You're not like me. And if you want to enter into a relationship, you have to accept the as-is tag that's not posted in the back of Sam's, but that's posted on the front of every person. You have to accept the as-is. This is one of the greatest marks of relational maturity, and it's one of the greatest marks of a church with genuine community. I'm preaching a little bit different than I did last week because I want this to soak in this morning. We live in a community where, I'll be honest, there's some weird folks. They're not like me. They're not like you. There's very few people that are like them. It's a little different. And I'm not just talking about the ones that go to the universities either. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Let me tell you, friends, Jesus would not turn someone away because of what they look like or how they dressed or what they smell like or how they did their hair. Jesus says, I accept you in the as-is column. And to choose to make genuine community as a church, we accept you for who you are. You may be a little weird here today, but let me tell you something. I love you, and this church loves you. Because we accept that as-is. When you're dealing with people, you have to accept that as-is. Friendship is that place where it makes us feel better about our weirdness. Here's something that C.S. Lewis, one of my favorite writers, says. He says, friendship is born at that moment when one person says to another, what? You too? I thought I was the only one. Yes, you too. It didn't matter to these friends that he was a paralytic. It didn't matter that he couldn't do anything for them. It didn't matter that sometimes when they went to pick him up that he just didn't quite smell right because he'd been laying there for a while. It didn't matter to them. He was a part of the group, and they accepted him. They loved him in the name of the Lord, and they said, we got to get him to Jesus. So we choose to accept that as-is tag. Third, we choose to be a friend and not just be friendly. Come on, somebody. We choose to be friends and not just be friendly. There's a difference between the two. In this story in Luke chapter 5, you've got this group of buddies. They get to the house where Jesus is teaching, and they find this crowd that won't allow them to get close to Jesus, and they were blocked out. They couldn't get their friend in front of Jesus, and so they sit around, and they try to decide, what are we going to do? And so they gather together, and they huddle up, and they say, okay. And the guy with the MBA and the university degree sits down, and he says, okay, fellas. He says, here's what we need to do. We need to do a decision matrix, and we need to decide what our options. We need to develop an action plan so that we can see what we can do. Let's do a quick brainstorming session, and let's decide how we're going to get our buddy in front of Jesus. He looks at his friends. And the guy with the spiked hair and the tattoos up and down his arm says, "Dude, I got an idea. Why don't we do this? Why don't we get that bro, pick him up, carry him up on the roof. Then let's tear the roof up. Let's drop him down with those ropes right in front of Jesus, man. That's awesome." And the guy with the MBA looks at him and says, "Are there any other suggestions, guy?" They were friends. It wasn't about just being friendly. If you want to have friends, you have to choose to become one yourself and to do what real friends do. Let me just illustrate it like this. In doing some research in the Journal of the American Medical Association, they did a study where 236 volunteers were injected with the common cold. I'm glad I didn't volunteer for that test. They were injected with the common cold, and the people that they had that had stronger emotional connections to one another, the people who had healthy relationships, were four times more likely, unbelievable, four times more likely to be able to fight off the virus than those who were isolated and felt alone in their life. Relational people were less susceptible to colds, and they shed the virus quicker and produced, listen to this, significantly less mucus than relationally unconnected subjects. Now, I'm not making this up, okay? So you boil it down to this. It is literally true that unfriendly people are snottier than friendlier people. I can't make that up. They're just snottier. Another study that I found was from a famous sociological research project that was done out of Harvard years ago in Alameda, California, in Alameda County, where they spent 9 years studying relationships. Most of the people that were isolated, the isolated folks, they were kind of loners, they were three times more likely to die than the people who were relationally connected and social and a part of a real strong social community. The people with bad health habits, smoking, drinking, overeating, all those things, but with strong relational connections, lived longer than people with good health habits but were isolated and lonely. Isn't that incredible? Even with the bad habits, the ones who were genuinely connected to other people still live longer. So in other words, what they discovered, that it's better to eat Twinkies with good friends than to eat broccoli by yourself. It's better to have some community with the ding-dongs and the Twinkies than to live life with broccoli by yourself. Let me tell you something. We need to know what it's like to be friends, not just friendly. It's about being friends. It's not about just having a friendly church. The world doesn't need another friendly church. It needs a church where people can find real friends. Come on, somebody. We need a place where people can find genuine community, where it's not someone just smiling at you because they're glad that you showed up and added a warm body, but they genuinely love you and they want to get to know you. They want to be your friend. Starts with you. It starts with you. Fourthly, you have to choose to measure your risk with reward. Let me tell you something. When you get involved into a church, it's risky business. Because you're going to make friends, and you're going to realize that sometimes you get hurt. Sometimes you get hurt in communities. I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand. How many of you have been hurt in church before? It's a reality. It's sad. Where people may have let you down. in places where you don't even expect it. This man, he was carried by all of his friends, and that would be plausible for me to believe this morning that there were moments, because they carried him everywhere, where they probably did drop him. They dropped him on occasion. There were moments when they drug him too low and he scraped himself on the ground. His friends, they felt bad about it. Their plan in this story was to lower him and to lower that mat right down in front of Jesus. I mean, look at the alternative. As I kind of looked at this, I thought, look at the alternative. I mean, what does he have to lose? He couldn't walk anyway. Don't be standoffish and don't hesitate because of the risk of community. I know what it feels like to lose close relationships. Not necessarily out of something that happened that was wrong, but I know what it's like. Don't be afraid to risk yourself and your heart. Stick yourself out there and say, I want to know who you are and I want you to love me. I want to be your friend, not just be friendly. Finally, let's talk about this. You have to choose to involve Jesus. The story talks about in Luke chapter 5 that the question was put, I'm sure, to these guys, how is Jesus going to respond to all this? What's Jesus going to do? Most teachers would not be happy about being interrupted. And I'm sure that Jesus, as he was teaching, as he was ministering to the people, that it probably wasn't something that he was looking for. But as the dirt and the chunks begin to fall down over Jesus' head, as they begin to fall down, as he's trying to deliver his teaching, and Jesus looks up and he sees this. In verse 20, the Bible lets us know something very clear about what Jesus was thinking. Bible says that he sees them and he says, because of their faith, because of the faith of these men who were helping their friend, when Jesus saw their faith, have you ever thought about what your faith can do for somebody else around you? Have you ever thought that maybe there's people around you every day who need the touch of God in their life? Maybe there's people that you know that need to be healed by the power of God. Maybe there's people that you know who need to be saved. Have you ever thought that there may be people around you who need the touch of God upon their life? They don't know where to go. They're confused. They're disappointed with life, and they don't know what to do. And in this story, this man's life is totally changed because of the involvement of Jesus and his close friends. He would never have gotten to Jesus had it not been for those friends. And just his friends carrying him around didn't do anything until they met him up with Jesus. Let me tell you, friends, if you can involve Jesus in the lives of your community, of the people that you love, when Jesus comes in contact with that community, things happen. Miracles begin to take place, because when God's people come together and they involve Jesus and they let him do what he can only do, then great things happen in the people that we love. We choose to involve Jesus in our relationships. We choose to make him a priority. We choose to be friends, not just to be friendly. We choose to accept people as they are. That's what it takes to be a church that's devoted to genuine community. Let me close with this story. I was at a restaurant some time back, and we're in the South, we're in Texas, and as a part of my breakfast, I ordered grits. Anybody eat grits in this room? Anybody like grits? I ordered grits. I had a friend there that was with me. He was a young guy, and a little bit green, and he wasn't from around here. And he looked up at the waitress, and he said this. He said, "What's a grit?" And I'll never forget the reaction of this older waitress when she looked down at him and she said, "Honey, grits don't come by themselves." And I just smiled and I thought, that's pretty powerful. Because we as a church, we believe in community. This church is not about one person. It's about all of us. the ones who are here today and the ones who are not here today. Because, honey, they don't come by themselves. This church doesn't come by itself. It's not just about one, it's about us. Only you know what it's like to feel that part of community. There's a God-shaped void in every man's life that only God can fill. There's also a human-shaped void in everyone's life that God will not fill. And He's asking you to fill that. Our church is founded upon the principle that the Bible is completely true. It's our directing map. I believe that you should grow in faith, that you should grow in the Spirit more tomorrow than you did today, and more the next week than you did today. We are committed to spiritual maturity in this church. We are committed. We are obligated to reach the lost. Our heartbeat is to reach those people who are far from the Lord. We are absolutely devoted to genuine community. We're devoted to one another. We are devoted. Because, honey, we don't come by ourselves.
Thanks for listening to this message. If you were blessed by this ministry, we want to encourage you to share it. And if you don't have a church home, come join us any Sunday at 10:30.